Loving God, you speak to us in so many ways, in the songs of birds, in the babbling of brooks, in the voices of our friends, in the hugs from our moms or dads, in the songs that we sing, and also in these stories, your story in the Bible. So speak to us now through the reading of these scriptures and help us to hear your voice and follow Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. Let us listen now for the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. You can follow along on page 23 of the New Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. Jesus asked, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first son and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, the chief priests and the elders of the people to whom Jesus was talking, they said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As is helpful when hearing many kinds of stories, we have a deeper understanding of this story which Jesus told when we put ourselves into the story. Imagine, you are the son, you are the daughter. Your parent comes up to you and says, "Go and work in the vineyard today." Well, some of you actually might have heard that particular sentence before, but many haven't. So a more helpful way, I think, is to hear God saying to us, "Go and work. Go and share with Highland today." Because one of our vineyards, one of the places to which we are called, is here at Highland, sharing God's love and care with our sisters and brothers in this place. What is this vineyard, this congregation, like? In our vineyard, we have sisters and brothers of all ages, all stages, all needs. We have people recovering from surgery and beginning radiation. We have those with gradually diminishing eyesight and those with sudden loneliness from the death of a loved one. In our vineyard, we have the struggle of aging and the struggle of middle school. We have infertility and depression, bullying, and stressed marriages. We have overworked parents and underworked employees, those concerned about aging parents, and those searching for answers with their own long-term care. This is our vineyard, this place to which God has called us, this place into which we are sent. Imagine you hear the voice, "Go and work in the vineyard today." How do you respond? Maybe this call to work in the vineyard, to care for these sisters and brothers around, maybe that makes us nervous. What if they're too needy? What if we start to feel smothered? We just can't deal with someone else's problems. They might see that we have some of our own. What if we might have to share our own feelings? Maybe we're just too busy. We have lots of important stuff filling up our calendars. There's no way we have time to add in sending cards, delivering flowers, praying for others. Maybe working in this vineyard is just not our gift. And so, along with the first son, we reply, "I will not go. You'll have to find someone else." We might be like the second son and respond quickly. "Sure, I will go." This son said, "I can help out. Just tell me what you need me to do." We can imagine that these are the words that the vineyard owner would love to hear. At Highland, people often respond with these right words. We talk about how many sisters and brothers we have in our midst whose souls we care for, about 850. We care in such a variety of ways. Listen to these words from our church's vision statement. "As a connected fellowship of believers, we reach out enthusiastically with love and care, rejoicing in times of celebration, bearing one another's burdens in times of struggle. We share in the wondrous working of God's grace in our lives." This vineyard sounds like a well-cared-for place. "We will go," we answer, through structured programs like deacons and caring friends, through unstructured conversations and emails. We pride ourselves in being a caring congregation, patting ourselves on the back for how well this vineyard is doing. We have many who are this second son kind of worker in the vineyard. Some of us might be more like the first son. Some of us might be more like the second son. But we haven't yet imagined the whole story, have we? There's more to this story that Jesus told. The first son, the one who might have been nervous about going out to the vineyard or too busy, that son actually ended up going to the vineyard and doing what his father asked. We can imagine that. We can imagine someone saying, "I'm not caring enough to be on the congregational care committee, but, you know, I can make a casserole." Or, "I don't have much time in the week, but on Sunday morning I can pick up someone and take them to church." Or, "I really don't know them, but they've been on the prayer list for so long, I can add them to my nightly prayers." Many are like this first son who say they can't or won't do the caring work and then actually show up in the vineyard, sharing love and hands-on care. We also remember what happened to the second son. He said the right things. "I go, sir." He might have even patted himself on the back with self-congratulations for being so responsible and so cooperative. For having the right attitude, the desired response. And then he never showed up in the vineyard. We also imagine that we can be that second son with all the right words, with the right hopes, but not the follow through. Maybe we get distracted and preoccupied. We intend to send that card or to make that phone call. We intend to take time for a visit or ask how someone's really doing and take the time to listen. But then we forget, or it gets lost in our pile, and eventually they and their needs fall off our radar. This vineyard of Highland is made up of sisters and brothers who are both the these children. The first son who said the wrong thing and did the right, and the second son who said the right thing and did the wrong. Jesus didn't ask his hearers which son gave the right answer, which one said the right words. He asked his hearers, which one of the two did the will of his father? Jesus' point wasn't who had the correct words, but who had the correct deeds. And then Jesus shocked his hearers and pointed out to them that they, the chief priests and the elders of the people, were like the second son, full of the right words, but not of the right deeds. Jesus clearly pointed out that those they despised, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, would be going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of them, because they were the ones, like the first son, who were actually going to the vineyard to do the work, to do God's work of compassion and justice and mercy. The despised, they were the ones who were allowing God's love to transform them, so that they turned from their initial response of no and turned toward the vineyard, toward how God wanted them to respond and live. The theological word for that turning is repentance. Jesus wasn't lifting up the one in the parable who always did the right thing, for both sons did a right thing and both sons did a wrong thing. All have sinned and fallen short. But Jesus placed his focus on the one who walked the walk. I'm imagining that vineyard, and I still wonder, maybe the vineyard owner had a third child, and maybe he made that same request of her. Go and work in the vineyard today. And that child responded, yes, I will go, and went. Imagine what that would look like here at this vineyard of Highland. We don't have to try too hard to imagine what that scene would be coming to life, because we see that all the time. Casseroles and prayer shawls are made with love and delivered. Breakfast and cards and flowers arrive at the hospital. Cards are sent, grass gets cut, childcare provided, rides given, grocery store trips made. Emails are sent, phone calls, and meaningful conversations in pews happen. Prayers are uttered. These scenes repeat themselves over and over here in this vineyard. In fact, our session and diaconate received a thank you note one time, expressing gratitude for all of these scenes around Highland. Here is some of it. Dear session and diaconate, your reputation has spread among my family and friends as a church that takes exceptional and loving care of its members. You did so much to support and comfort us. We joked that you must have divided the congregation into quadrants to ensure we received daily cards, calls, visits, food. God called sons and daughters to this vineyard of Highland, and they went. What a beautiful example. Another example is God's call to Susan Doughton to serve as a congregational nurse among us here in this vineyard. Susan felt God's nudge to look into the training program at the Shepherd Center for their congregational nurse and health ministry program. And then she went to use her, she listened to God's call to use her training here among us at Highland in our vineyard. How blessed we have already been with her care and her knowledge. Congregational nursing started out as parish nursing, which might be a familiar title to you. That was started in Chicago in 1984. There are over 15,000 registered parish nurses or congregational nurses in our country. I had the privilege of working with two of them in my previous congregation, and I have seen firsthand over and over the ways that congregations can benefit. When such love and such care are modeled and coordinated, the whole congregation becomes more aware, more loving, more caring. As workers in the vineyard, we become more willing to say yes to God's call and then to follow through. It's a beautiful cycle, one which I am so delighted to witness and be part of here. One of Susan's roles will be to help us all in this vineyard of Highland to have our actions match our words in caring for one another, and to have our actions reflect the extravagant love and care which God pours into each one of our lives. In fact, that is the role that each one of us is given as a disciple. We are called to seek and do God's will here in this vineyard and beyond. This is a challenging, but it is a life-transforming call. We can take heart. In this parable, both sons do right in their own way, but both sons do wrong in their own way too, just like each one of us. Both sons begin the story as children of the vineyard owner, and they end the story as children of the vineyard owner in the same way. Just as we begin our story as God's children and remain as God's children, none of us are cast from the family. With such grace, may we this day and in this vineyard, may we seek more intentionally to do God's will, sharing such love and such care as God has shared with us. And may this vineyard thrive. Let us pray.